It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We've got Nathan in with us today as well. What's up today, buddy?
Nothing much. Living life. Living life. Beautiful day outside. Not too warm. Not too cold. It's perfect weather.
So, so Nathan goes to Penn State Altoona. You're a sophomore, right?
Yeah, sophomore.
I've been meaning to ask you, what's college life like for you at Penn State Altoona? What do you do? Do you hang out on campus? Is it like 13th grade? What is it for you?
I got people down there I talk to and stuff. I'm in a flag football league down there.
All right.
So that's fun down there. But, I'm there till 12 every day. After that, I usually just go home, relax for a few hours, come here, go to other work, stuff like that.
So you kind of you go there, you go to your class, and then you kind of come home, right?
Yeah, usually. If it might be different if I'm living on campus. I might be hanging out more around. But, I got the dog at home. I got to take him out. It's always food in the fridge, which is nice. So.
That stuff's interesting. That was kind of my experience in college. I went to the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, about 14,000 people at the time, but very few dorms on campus, so you kind of had to live in a house.
I would hate living on campus, to be honest.
Right,
I don't think I could.
Not enough to do, or what?
Oh, there's probably more to do on campus. It's just, I feel like I get super annoyed with people real quick, because I'm like...
You have no patience for people.
I don't have patience with incompetence. I can let some stuff, but it's like whenever something's the same. Whenever people are just doing stuff, I'm like, why would you even? Like that's why I don't think I could live with like a roommate, like another guy.
Yeah.
I think there's just so much I'd get so annoyed about either just leaving stuff everywhere. I'd be like, dude, just pick it up. I live with my brother. That's pretty much it's pretty much a roommate, but
I'm on board with all that stuff. I don't necessarily like people. People disappoint you very, very easily.
I like hanging around people. It's just I feel like once you live with someone else, it's a totally different ballgame.
No way. So there's a great meme you may have seen. I just came across this yesterday. Again, I've seen it. So there's this little boy. He's got kind of shaggy hair, and there's an up-close picture of his face, and he goes, uh-oh. And the mom says, what? And he goes, people.
I've never seen that, but that's a good representation.
Uh-oh, what? People. And he's like...
I think people are so interesting. I love just to kind of gauge what people do and just watch. People watch is one of my favorite things to do. You go out there and you just kind of...
I do that too. Do you go at Sheetz or Walmart or a grocery store and just watch people?
Love it. I worked at Martin's for
exactly.
2.5 years. It is...
People are nuts.
It's a spectacle. I love it. I love it.
Are people, when they're grocery shopping, are they just wacky beyond belief, with all the things they touch and do and all? What part of the Martin's did you work at?
So I was always up front, so I wouldn't see in the actual.
Oh, okay, so you weren't actually watching them.
Every once in a while,
poke the eggs and stuff like that.
No, I wasn't watching. Every once in a while, I would stalk and stuff like that, but usually nothing would come of that. Just people kind of arguing with each other. That's
only thing
fun.
I do shopping is if I get eggs, I will open the crate,
make sure not cracked,
and make sure none are cracked.
Yeah.
And I really, a girlfriend taught me that. I was 20-something years old before a girlfriend taught me that.
You always gotta check your eggs.
Yeah.
Expiration dates, make sure, especially on milk and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yes. I do you have any issue eating canned foods that are expired
I eat so much expired.
Yeah.
I always go to First Stop or something like that too, where they got basically stuff that's expiring the
cheap
next day.
Stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Or you get the on the reduced rack, you get maybe some donuts you're taking somewhere. They're good for a day or two. After that, they taste like a rock. But the first 2 days, you get a dozen back there for $3.50, I think. Not too bad. If you're going somewhere, it's not a bad option.
We're going to talk some Penn State football. We got a great day today here. We got this show, then we've got the Black and Gold Breakdown coming up at 5 o'clock. I can't wait to hear Kreider Justin Fields and Mike Tomlin.
Justin Fields, I know you're going to talk about it later. Justin Fields had nothing to do with that loss.
And that's a very interesting component.
He's been playing excellent.
That's the discussion. We'll get to that here in a little bit. We're going to talk some Penn State as well. Here's the question for Penn State. Is Penn State really very good? Do we know? Don't answer yet.
Okay.
Do we know? They're the number four team in the country. They deserve to be the number four team in the country in terms of rankings. There's a dude in Tampa. I called him out on Twitter. He's got Penn State ranked eighth.
I saw that, yeah.
And behind 3 1-loss teams. Now, that's a bunch of crap. Because I think in rankings, okay, I want to get to this in a second. I got a game to play. Nathan doesn't know anything about this. So,
all right.
The last two songs, we're going to do some music trivia here because Nathan loves music trivia. So this is cool. And I don't want you to answer. I want the listeners to think about this first. The last two songs I heard today, one was two and a half hours ago when I got home and I was doing something. And then the last song I heard, this was the last song I just heard. I want everybody to listen to these two songs. There's a common thread here. And if you know your music history, you'll know the answer to what the common thread is. But this is the last song I heard, like, 10, 12 minutes ago. All right, everybody should know this song. This song is what?
Manic Monday by the Bangles.
Manic Monday by Susanna Hoffs, one of the most beautiful women who ever lived.
I want to say 86.
And the Bangles.
I want to say 86.
86 is correct. That's right. You love the years. I hate these years, yes. But I do know that one. All right, so that's the last song I heard right before I got out of the car. Well, 2 hours ago.
Absolute banger.
Whenever I got home, this was the last song I heard. This is not one of the most beautiful women of all time. This is Sinead O'Connor. Kind of cute, but that crazy haircut, no. It is a great song, though. What year is this? Is about 88, maybe?
90.
90? It's late as 90?
Probably,
okay.
Yeah. I'll look it up real quick.
She is kind of cute there. You didn't know, like, the crazy haircut and everything. She's all right, I guess. She's a solid six, maybe.
I'm not going to rank woman. I feel too bad. I feel too bad. Was 1990.
I'm not going to rank women live. Good for you, young man.
I think someone did on game day and got blasted, I want to say.
All right.
I'll let other people rank women. I enjoy hearing that.
I got no problem. I'm an old man. Dirty old man.
I know. I won't go above six.
All right, so this is, what song is this?
Nothing Compares to You.
By Sinead O'Connor. All right, so do you know the link between these two songs off the top of your head? This is a tough one. This is pretty good stuff.
I'm about to say, is it something with ripping up a picture of the Pope? I doubt it.
Oh, it is not. Susanna Hoffs never ripped up a picture
say,
of the Pope.
Susanna Hoffs.
Anybody, I'll open. I'm not going to answer this for a few minutes because this is great trivia. If you love the 80s and music, even though this was 90, this is a great bit of music trivia.
Is this like a beef, like a rap battle before rap battles between these two?
You'll find out.
Okay.
Manic Monday by the Bangles and Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. But if you know the answer, I will. I don't have a prize for you. I'll congratulate you as being very intelligent from your music history.
A good clap.
A very good golf clap here, yeah. All right, so I want to dive into today, Nathan, the question of, is Penn State very good?
All right.
Now, the schedule has been bad. They have not played a ranked team.
Illinois.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, Illinois is 19th at the time. They're not ranked now, though, right? They fell,
I think they're 20.
Are they
22,
still in?
I want to say.
So then they beat Kent State. They beat UCLA. Now, West Virginia, we thought that was going to be a pretty good win. Then West Virginia struggled. Then West Virginia goes and destroys Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's looking like a better win. Illinois 23.
And you need Illinois to go on and have a good year. You need West Virginia to go on and have a good year. Mm-hmm. But I think I saw, and you can check this, Penn State's strength of schedule is something like 95th.
For the entire year, just up to this point.
Yes, for up to this point. And so they are ranked fourth in the country, and I have no problem with being ranked fourth in the country. But are they very good? And are we going to know any more about that answer after Saturday at USC? Because USC is now unranked. I actually predicted that. You remember last on the show last week, Thursday, Nathan, I said, I think Minnesota's going to beat them.
Yeah,
I picked Minnesota just simply because, whether it's bias on my part, and I will fully admit it, I think that Pac-12 teams are soft as hell. Now, on the same day, Washington beats Michigan, and that kind of debunks it a little bit, but I'm not sure how good Michigan is this year. So I just think these Pac-12 teams, they think they're going to gear up for Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. And then when you go to Minnesota, you're not ready to get punched in the mouth the way Minnesota will punch you in the mouth. And Rutgers will punch you in the mouth, and Iowa will punch you in the mouth, and Wisconsin will punch you in the mouth. And that's just not something that they saw every week in the Pac-12. So USC, trip to L.A. this weekend, they're not ranked. So that's kind of my double-edged question. Is Penn State really very good? Do we know? And are we going to know any more after this week?
So my initial thought is Penn State is not deserving of the number four spot.
Okay.
They're there by default, in my opinion. I still think Georgia and Alabama is better, but I understand why you have to put Penn State there is because they don't have a one next in that loss column right there. So I understand why they're at number four, even though I don't think they quite frankly deserve that. I would take a lot of those. I'd even take a Tennessee team over that, even though they lost to Arkansas.
So the discussion you're having is, would Penn State beat these people?
Yes, I don't think they would.
Would Penn State beat Georgia?
No.
Would Penn State beat Alabama?
No.
Would Penn State beat Tennessee?
It's a young quarterback, so maybe they could hang with Tennessee for a while. That'd be my discussion there. Nico is a true freshman. He might struggle a little bit, and they'd be able to hang on. So maybe Tennessee they could be. They are probably deserving of a 7-8, in my opinion. I think that's where they deserve to be. However, like we did mention, they did not lose yet. So you do need to factor that in. So I guess that's why the four ranking comes up to that, even though I don't agree with it. And they're going to be, if they end up winning, they're going to be number three. And it's going to be, I guess maybe if Georgia gets a good win. I think they play someone solid this weekend. Maybe Georgia jumps if they end up destroying whoever they play right there. And Penn State struggles a little bit. But USC, like you mentioned, I was very unimpressed. They did get punched in the mouth. Minnesota played very well against them, 144 yards on the ground for their leading rusher, Darius Taylor right there. And Miller Moss, which is a guy I thought was a really, really good quarterback coming in, Lincoln Riley's going to have a lot of success with him. He didn't look too hot, 23 of 38, 200 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He definitely struggled, especially that last throw at the end. I don't know if you saw that. That was a terrible. I don't know what he was going with right there. It was like triple coverage in the end zone. I don't understand that, but USC, I think that it's going to be an interesting game because I think the travel is going to have a big part in it. I think going across country may result. I guess they've started slow in every game pretty much. Penn State has. So, you know, if USC can get off to a hot start and then Penn State's playing from behind, we'll see how it goes. But it's going to be interesting. I don't know what to make of this game quite yet, but 5.5 at the line feels good for Penn State initially. But obviously it's a road game. I think that factors in a good bit.
So what's happening now, though, is the Penn State fan base is all excited, thinking national championship, thinking deep run in the college football playoff. Is it real? Is it possible? Is it real? Do we know? Are we just getting set up for the inevitable of wait till they play Ohio State and Michigan? Well, they don't play Michigan this year, and that's a good thing because this is – they're the only team in the country.
They would beat Michigan this year. That's the one.
They would. They would. You would think, unless it was at Michigan.
Maybe,
because
a
lot of times they go out to Michigan, and it's a house of horrors. But Penn State's the only team, I think, in the country in the last 4 years to start 5-0.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That's weird to think about,
only team in the country to start 5-0 for the last 4 years. 24, 23, 22, 21. Because obviously in 20 they had the disastrous 0-5 start.
Mm-hmm.
So And yet Penn State didn't make a playoff in any of those years. Now, they should make a playoff this year. You can lose two games. You can lose to USC and Ohio State. You can lose to Ohio State and Minnesota. You can lose to Ohio State and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not real good, so that shouldn't happen. You can lose two games and still get in. But the beauty of rankings to me is what you alluded to. can you beat these people? See, the NFL playoffs are not about rankings. The NFL playoffs are not about, you know, you're a one seed, six seed, blah, blah, blah. They do seedings, but you see, you have road upsets all the time in the NFL playoffs. You have teams that have gone 10-7 that have won Super Bowls. The Giants did it. I think the Packers did it after 10-6 regular seasons. 10-7 now, but or it, back then it was 10-6. So, but in college football, all we have to go on is who have you played? Are they any good? How have you looked against them? And then we just do all this projecting of so-and-so. Here's a question for you. Ready for this?
Let's hear it.
All right. If this weekend, let's not say this weekend, because that would be a bad weekend. I'll explain why I say it. If in a few weeks Penn State had to make a road trip down south, would they win this game? At Vanderbilt.
Yes, they beat Vanderbilt. I think
Vanderbilt beats them. Did you watch that game?
I did.
Did you watch what they do with their offense? Did you watch how creative they are?
They are very creative. That's what you have to do to beat a good team.
That's right. To beat Penn State, you have to be able to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. You can't be an incompetent team throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when I'm watching that was not a fluke. You know, I'm not going to sit here and sing the praises of Vanderbilt. And that's why
you think if they play that game 100 more times, I bet Vanderbilt wins.
Okay, but here's
the
difference. It was Alabama coming off of its gigantic win over Georgia.
Big emotional win.
And that's why I said not this weekend. If Penn State went down there this weekend, they would win because Vanderbilt is set for the inevitable letdown. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is when you go on the road in college football and you play any one of the 15 to 20 different styles of football that are being played, you got Army, Navy, Air Force, Georgia Tech. They're all running this crap. Over here, you've got Wisconsin, Minnesota. They're just going to try to bully Michigan. They're just going to try to bully you. Over here, you've got, you know, some of these teams that are still trying to throw the ball 45 and 50 times. Over here, you've got Ohio State that can do everything. Georgia that can do everything. Alabama that can do everything. Penn State's one of those teams. I'm still not sure they can do everything yet, especially without Nick Singleton, but we expect Singleton back. So if you go on the road in college football, a lot of times if you play a crazy matchup game, that's why I think Vanderbilt was fascinating to watch that. I don't think it was a fluke. Does Vanderbilt beat Alabama more than a few times out of 100? Maybe not. But I think those games are all pretty – a lot of those games would be pretty close simply because Vanderbilt plays a style that is different from what a lot of other people do with what they do with their quarterback.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, it's a team where if you – don't take them serious, they can catch you off guard. If you take them
and
serious,
and Alabama
though,
didn't take them serious.
Exactly, yeah. And like a team like Georgia Southern, who took them very seriously, ended up beating them.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games where if you overlook it, it's a slip-up game. And that's what happens with a lot of these teams that run different styles of offenses where they might catch you off guard, like I didn't mention, with a lot of stuff you don't see every day. You don't see against the Georgias, the Ole Miss, and stuff like that. They have their own unique style. You think about it.
That's a great point. I remember Bill O'Brien 12 years ago saying, when you play Navy, and Navy wasn't real good. Penn State beat them 30-6 here. When you play Navy, all the things you work on, you have to put them aside for a week because your entire defensive philosophy is now shifted to their option and everything. And so, yeah, you've got your base foundation defensive principles, but a lot of the things you're preparing to play Ohio State for, you can use for Northwestern.
Yeah.
A lot of things you're preparing to play, hell, even Bowling Green or Kent State, you're using to face somebody else. Against Navy, you wouldn't use that philosophy against anybody else. It was a strictly one-off kind of deal.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think about Notre Dame this year is they play Navy and Army, who have different styles of offenses, so they can be able to adjust right there and end up winning a game because they know their back's against the wall. They really can't lose. If they lose to an Army or Navy, they're completely done. They're out of the playoffs. You don't have a conference championship. You're two losses right there. So that's how different teams end up upsetting these teams. Like Arkansas played a great game against Tennessee, ended up beating them right at the end of the game. Kentucky a few weeks ago, they play hard against any team. First of all, you can't overlook any SEC team. It is the hardest conference in college football. You're not going to convince me otherwise. The Big Ten, I get it. They have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and all. SEC is a different animal. There's a good chance if you put Vanderbilt in the ACC, Vanderbilt is a 9-3 team. it's interesting. I think the style of offense is, I keep repeating it, but I think it's very important. It all comes down to what happens in these big time upsets, and you see it across college football. You're going to see it. I mean, Cal almost knocked off Miami, and they, I mean, that's not Miami, which Miami might be a very, very overhyped team, I'm not going to lie. But regardless, they ran a different style. They ran a lot of what Virginia Tech ran, and Virginia Tech almost beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Cal should have beat them. A couple questionable calls. Maybe Michael Irvin was doing a little voodoo magic on the sideline
nice.
On all fours. I ended up getting them the win, but it's interesting college football, and that's why, like you said, maybe a team like Penn State, who doesn't, if they went down to Vanderbilt and it was a different style off an emotional win. And that's also something that's really interesting, too, is emotional wins. You see these games afterwards. And
correct.
You see teams slip up a lot.
Correct.
It's weird when you think about it, is that you come at the high of highs, then all of a sudden it comes crashing right
How
down.
Old are you?
20.
So are these players.
Exactly. That's weird to think about.
They're not professionals. Mm-hmm. And James Franklin has said this many times over the years. He deals with 118 to 22-year-old men, the most unpredictable people on the planet. For what you just said, that you're Alabama, you beat Georgia, and now, quite frankly, I think if Alabama played Georgia 100 times, I think Georgia probably beats them 75, because Georgia had all the momentum at the end of that game. They weren't quite ready to play at the beginning.
Yeah,
I still think Georgia's better than Alabama.
100%, I'll agree with you there, yeah. But that game's a neutral site game. That's,
correct.
That's a win for Georgia.
But you've got 20-year-old kids who, you know, if their girlfriend breaks up with them, who knows how they deal with that in a given week?
Exactly,
you know, so
yeah.
and that's what you're dealing with college football. Then when you go on the road, and look, Aller has made a lot of starts. I want to get into more of this a little bit deeper after the break, because I do have to take a break. But Aller's played enough road games now. A lot of these guys, Nick and Catron, they've played enough road games. Abdul Carter, they've been around. But there are other players to Penn State, offensive linemen, new offensive line this year, some players on defense that haven't been in these situations quite. That's what makes USC a lot more dangerous than maybe people are giving credit for.
It'll be, I like I said, I'm not too concerned with USC. I wasn't concerned with them at the beginning of the year. The only thing I think that could have factored in was Miller Moss if he played out of his mind. But he looked very subpar against Minnesota.
This is their season. This week is their entire season.
It is their season.
Because if they lose, they're out of the playoff.
100%.
They're at home. So we'll get into this a little bit more after the break. By the way, I want to throw out our trivia question here again. These two great songs, one from 86, one from 90, Manic Monday by the Bengals. And Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. What's the length of those songs? I got Nathan stumped here so far. So
I don't know.
We'll see after the break. I'll give you the answer if nobody calls in.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell. Well, Pike.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
All right, so we're talking rankings here. We're talking Penn State. Are they as good as maybe some people believe? Could they be better? I'm always open to that possibility. How much are we going to find out this week against USC on the road? Here's the answer to my fun trivia question. Nobody called in about this. Manic Monday and Nothing Compares to You. You know the common link?
I do not know.
They were both written by Prince.
Oh, you know, I did know that.
You knew it. I know that you knew it.
Because he has a lot of other famous songs are written by Prince. Well, I definitely knew Manic Monday.
Remember when you first came in and we were doing all of the music trivia? You came up one time with an awesome set of questions. Like, you had like four songs. And they were all like connect. All, three of them were connected, but one wasn't. Something like that. You remember that?
Yes, I.
That was great.
I cannot remember what it was. Was it Prince written song? It wasn't that.
No, it wasn't. But there were like five questions.
I've done that on trivia before.
Some were like, you know, what year were they in, or you know, what who wrote them, or movies. I can't remember what they were. But that's a good way to. But yes, both of those. So the story is, Prince wrote "Nothing Compares to You," and he released it on an album with a band. In 1985, and then Sinead O'Connor re-recorded it 5 years later. Okay. Now, I don't know the connection between Sinead O'Connor and Prince, but Prince wrote Manic Monday and gave it to Susanna Hoffs because he was trying to hook up with her.
Yes, I did know that.
That's the story. He was trying to hook up, as was every male in the 1980s, who was probably trying to hook up with Susanna Hoffs. But anyway, that's our music trivia question for the day. That's a pretty good one.
It was a pretty good one. Yeah, I like those. I like to try to test... Test my brain and see if I can figure it out. I should have put that together a little quicker. So.
It was pretty easy. Nobody called either.
The Manic Monday, that I feel like is very well known that Prince wrote that. This Nothing Compares to You. It just wasn't coming out. It wasn't coming out.
So back in 2013, Doug LaMarie, who at the time was with the Cleveland Plain Dealer, he might be with the Athletic now. He might be. I'm not sure. Doug LaMarie's covered college football for a long time. Ohio State, very, very well known. So he made national news for this, Nathan. Early in the year, it's 2013.
Okay.
Early in the year, he started doing his AP Top 25 ballot based only on what teams had done to that point. Nothing else. Not preseason. Not who he thought was going to win. He did it based on who did you play in week one and beat? Who did you play in week two and beat? Who had...
Who earned it.
This is theoretically what the college football playoff rankings are supposed to be. So like they're talking about, you know...
This is the full state conversation
the best,
last year.
Correct. They're finding the best team versus the team that's earned it, that sort of thing. And so, anyway... His ballot, and I don't remember all the circumstances at the time, but he got ripped for this badly, and he was on national shows and everything. But he had Clemson at number one. Now, this is before Trevor Lawrence. And Deshaun. This is back when Clemson. So he had Clemson at number one, LSU 2, Louisville 4, Washington 8, Ohio State 9, Bowling Green 17, Notre Dame 21. So here's what he said, and he explained. A team's ranking the week before doesn't matter. That especially holds true with the preseason poll, which is nothing more than a half-educated guess. My ballot is a reflection of what happened, not a prediction of what will happen. Results are what matter the most. So my top teams this week are the teams I thought had the best wins. Now, I don't recall that this lasted all that long. I've had very few dealings with Doug LaMarie. I've been around him. Very smart guy. Very well respected. I don't think he voted for the top 25 maybe after this year, if memory serves. And I'm not sure how deep into the year he kept this stuff up. But you see the novelty of it, of let's, because I want to say there were, like, Clemson may have pulled off some gigantic upset, so he had him at number one while everybody else had him way, way down. That kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
What do you make of thinking about these things in those terms?
I'm fine with him saying that the preseason is an educated guess, because we don't know. We shouldn't. So, for example, if, like, Florida State, that was an educated guess that they were the 10th best team in college football this year. Clearly, that is not the case.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the preseason is always a mosh, but you are taking educated guesses at what happened last year, the returning roster, transfers in, and stuff like that. So I understand that a little. I don't know what is going on.
Yeah, there's flickering lights
yeah, it keeps
in
going
here.
On and off. But
you know, one of the last things I read when I came in here was about Poltergeist, and I never knew this, but you seen Poltergeist?
I will 82? Not. Those are the only movies I can't watch.
So Poltergeist, yeah. I just saw this, my short attention, because the lights are flickering on and off in the theater.
Yes.
It's like all spooky with Halloween coming up. And Poltergeist, Jo Beth Williams, the mom, with this famous scene where she's in the water with these skeletons because they built their house on top of a cemetery. I just read this a couple hours ago. Those were real human skeletons. The movie directors didn't. They found it cheaper to go to the morgue and get a bunch of human skeletons instead of, like, making these fake ones. And
so, Spirit Halloween and Grant.
No one knew. The actress who's in the water with these human skeletons for 5 days filming, she had no idea that they're real. Wouldn't that freak you the hell out?
That is wild. That's why I would never work on the set of a horror movie. Like like The Exorcist, like that I've heard is super cursed, like all these crazy stuff, catching fire and stuff like that. I do like horror movies, but like the Paranormal Activity ones, those are the ones I need to stay away
speaking
from.
Speaking of Poltergeist, the little girl died.
Yeah.
The sister died. She got killed by a pitchfork, for crying out loud. Those people were very cursed. Okay, so anyway.
Back to
college
football.
Well, we got into that because the lights started flickering in here. So somebody screwed around.
Halloween, we got a great show lined up.
I know, we do.
I cannot wait for Halloween because it falls on Thursday. Anyways, what were we talking about? We were talking about rankings.
Rankings, yeah. So, like, beating people, should rankings be, hey, right now, Texas and Ohio State are the best teams in the country. Do they have the best wins necessarily? Maybe not.
Yeah, it's a combination of both, and that's where the opinions start to seep in, is whenever you're getting projections and roster talent and stuff like that. And like I did mention, Florida State last year, who was number four, fell to number five because they lost their quarterback, Jordan Travis. So there's no doubt in my mind if Jordan Travis is on that team healthy, they're a playoff team, and they might even win a playoff. I doubt it, but they were in the playoffs right there. So that's whenever rankings, I think it should come down to what's on the roster and what you've seen. Because you look at Georgia right now, Georgia to me is the third best team in the country, undoubtedly. You can't put Ohio State and Texas below them because while they're very talented as well, they don't have a loss. Georgia does have a loss to Alabama. They went in to Alabama, end up losing a very close.
So you're okay with that. You're okay that Penn State is ranked ahead of Georgia, even though you think Georgia is better than Penn State?
At this moment, yes.
Me too. I don't have any problem. I think that's the way it should be. Rankings are not playoff seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Rankings, to me, exist for this reason, what we're doing right here.
Yes.
We're talking about it.
That's what makes college football so great.
And basketball,
to the NFL
too, because rankings and football more so with the playoff. We can have fun. They actually do. The AP does rankings in the NFL. I have never paid 1 second of attention to any of them. Like, they don't matter at all.
Because it all comes down to records at the end of the year.
Well, the Steelers last year lost back-to-back games to 10 lost teams. That was the first time in the NFL history. What was the Patriots and the Cardinals, maybe?
Yeah, Patriots, Cardinals.
So, you know, rankings literally mean nothing in the NFL. But in college football, it keeps you talking in June and July and August before the season. And then when we have crazy stuff happening like this, it's great for discussion.
Yeah, and also with rankings, you're able to rank teams because they don't play – they play inferior opponents a lot. Like Ohio State had a cupcake schedule the first 3 weeks. Then out of conference, they played Marshall, Akron, and then I forget who else they played. Someone that – Western Michigan, maybe, or something like that. But they are able to see that Ohio State maybe, while they did blow out the Steams, those aren't the best opponents. So you got to realize, okay, well, Texas, they end up beating Michigan at the Big House. You got to take that win a little bit more than maybe a 56-0 Akron win. And you got to rank them a little bit higher because they end up beating a better opponent. And I think that's what is so great about college football is you're able to have those rankings, talk to people about it, and kind of – because everybody has a different ranking system. You saw in that graphic in which everybody had their top 25. Everybody's completely different. Some people have Penn State at number 4. Some people have Penn State at number 8. You know, it's all based on how somebody perceives them and judges them. And then eventually it will all work out. Once you get through 12 games, things will become a lot clearer unless there's like a big injury like the Florida State thing last year. And last year was an anomaly because it felt like there were 6 or 7 teams that really deserved to be in the playoffs. Usually you're down to 4 to 5. I mean, there are some years where there was no controversy who should be in, who shouldn't. But whenever you get the Alabama beat the Georgia, but Texas beat Alabama, they're all the same record. It's interesting to think about.
How do we and this is
how do you judge wins?
This is something that's going to be interesting with all these teams, that with Alabama having a loss, Georgia having a loss, this conceivably could help Penn State because you want to have a home playoff game. You want to buy in the top 4, obviously. But if you just lose to Ohio State and you've got that one loss, you should very much still be in the top 8. Now, if they lose the second game, I think they'll be 9th to 12th somewhere. But if you only have one loss, even if your schedule is pretty weak, with only maybe one top 25 win over, say, in Illinois, if you lose to Ohio State, you can still be a top 8 team. But here's the thing, and I want to give my buddy Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror credit for him. I'd not thought about this. You ready for this? It's very simple. It's as simple as, you see what I did with my screen over here? I moved it from the one girl to the other.
Yes, I did see that.
I had Sinead O'Connor's picture up here, and I switched it back to Susanna Hoff. So I couldn't. That was an easy choice. That was an easy editorial decision there. And that made me lose my train of thought. But no, Neil brought up a great. Okay, think about this. All right. And all credit to Neil Riddell, because I'm usually good at thinking about outside the box on this, but if Penn State only loses to Ohio State, who's in the Big Ten championship game?
Penn State, Ohio State.
What if they lose to them again?
You still put them in because they'd be the one seed.
They're in. Or are they a top 8 seed?
Mm-hmm. You lose this. Well, maybe it depends on the final score outcome. It might hinge on that.
That's where things could get very, very interesting. About could you conceivably get screwed by playing the extra game, and then now you've got to go on the road?
I don't know. I would like to think that if you make a conference championship that's held in higher regards, then
losses matter.
Losses do matter.
But
wins also do too. You'd have an extra win over a team that maybe is 10-2, 11-2.
Well, you'd be 11-1. You'd be if you lose to. But you made a good point. What would happen in the Big Ten championship game? Obviously, if it's 59-0 like Wisconsin, you're screwed. I mean, that got Ohio State into the playoff in 14 or 15 or whatever year that was. Okay, so. If you follow this line of thinking, if you're 11-1, you think definitely you absolutely get a home playoff game. But then if you lose that game and you're 11-2, depending on how you played, my God, what if Aller gets hurt or Nick Singleton gets hurt or something? Mm-hmm. You could get screwed over. So basically, look at Oregon's schedule. Oregon's still undefeated. So listen, essentially. I can make the strong case for this. You don't want to be in the Big Ten championship game. You want Oregon to somehow. Oregon plays Ohio State, right?
So Oregon and Ohio State's this weekend, 2-3. Okay. Then they got Illinois, they got Michigan, and really, I mean, late season Wisconsin, maybe something trips up there, but I highly doubt it. I mean, besides that, Washington might is a rivalry game, so maybe something there.
So there you go. Depending on how the tiebreakers go, say you've got Oregon and Penn State at 11-1. One of them goes to the Big Ten championship game and finishes 11-2. Is the 11-2 team seated above the 11-1 team? They've got the extra loss, but they also lost the extra game to Ohio State.
Well, I was just about to say, let's say Oregon and Penn State
both lose to Ohio State.
Both lose to Ohio State.
Okay, so then it depends on whatever tiebreaker.
Yes. Well, I was going to say the fact that they're both home, I think that would differentiate. If you were away going to the Horseshoe, that might.
Where's the Oregon game?
Oregon's in Oregon. So Ohio State's both on the road for these big games.
Oh, so that's that'd be a worse loss for Oregon.
It'd be a worse loss for Penn State, too, because they're at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, right,
so,
true, yeah.
So I think that would matter. I think I'd factor in maybe a little bit is where you play the games. Then it's a neutral site game. And at the neutral site game, you got to see if it's – because the crowd's going to play a fact. If you don't think the crowd matter, it matters so much in college football. It would probably matter in the Big Ten Championship what you do there. If they kept it close, I would imagine they – put the 11-2 team over it.
You would think. That would be the only fair thing to do, but I don't know that that would be the case.
It's gonna come down to scores.
Especially if it's a double-digit loss. If the Big Ten if Oregon or Penn State loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game by double digits and the game's not particularly close, I think they would get screwed over. Now,
I think Oregon has a better strength schedule, though, so I think that would give them the advantage.
That's a good point. So
they also play,
but
Boise
I don't know
State
what
earlier.
The tiebreaker is. I need to find out. Say Penn State loses to Ohio State, Oregon loses to Ohio State. What's the tiebreaker? How deep do we have to get it? We'll see if we can find that part out.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Talladega Super Speedway. Sammy Smith led just 5 laps in this one, but that is plenty to take the checkered flag.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, stage 1, we weren't the best. Stage 2, we were able to get the car a lot better and get some good, solid stage points. That was kind of our goal going into it, was to get good stage points. And luckily, we were able to get 9 stage points there, and that put us in a good position for track position there at the end. So, yeah, it was tough. You know, I didn't know what the best strategy was in my past Super Speedway races, and this one seemed to be best running up front and just trying to stay out of trouble, and we did that. And there's a lot of great guys that gave me really good pushes there at the end, so thank you to all those guys. But man, it feels really good to win again. It's been a tough season for us, and even feels even better to get locked in round of 8. To be able to kind of get momentum here in these last couple races has been really good. We made a change with crew chiefs and kind of whole team the last, I think it was 4 races ago, and we've clicked really well. And it feels, but overall, yes, it feels good to be able to be locked into the round of 8.
Ryan Sieg was 2nd, followed by Riley Herbst, Sheldon Creed, and Chandler Smith rounds out the top 5. Chandler Smith leads Cole Custer by 27 points each with 2 wins this season. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is the Charlotte Roval Road Course. It's going down Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern on CW. You're on the final lap.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. Your coworker Kyle said bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive could save you money. Bad news. While saying this, Kyle was eating your clearly labeled lunch. Dumb news. Pizza near work costs $7 a slice, and it tastes like drywall covered in ketchup. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and enjoy more lunches far away from Kyle. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
FM. All right, we want to thank our presenting sponsor each and every day, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigar. If you're heading out to a game, head on over to J.M. Boswell's first, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. We got a lot of great football discussions here. I want to switch gears here for the last few minutes with Nathan on the Steelers. And we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up here in about 14 minutes with Kreider and Matt Bortner. So the question of the week, or the question going forward about the Steelers' offense, the quarterback situation, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, two losses in a row, the offense was putrid. Is this Justin Fields' fault? Is it Mike Tomlin's fault? They're ranked 26th out of 32 teams in the NFL in scoring per game. Whose fault is that?
In my opinion, this is Mike Tomlin's fault. I think Justin Fields has played excellent for what he's been asked to do. He's not asked to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game. The only time he's thrown, I guess he actually has, but most of the games he's been below 30 pass attempts, which his completion percentage was pretty good up until this game against Dallas, which is interesting. The previous two games against the Chargers and the Colts, he threw the ball very, very well, I thought. This game was a little bit different. It's so weird to me because Justin Fields, it feels like he's playing very, very well, but the stats don't reflect it. But I think the fact, if you watch the game, I think it's a little bit different. Because number one, I think his pocket presence is absolutely elite. The way he's able to just maneuver around, and he does take sacks every once in a while, but he can scramble out of that pocket, get out of some messy situations, get 2 to 3 yard quick rush gains, which may not seem like a lot, but it's a lot better to be in 3rd and 7 than just 3rd and 13. I mean, you'll take that 10 times out of 10, obviously. But I think the way they play offense, and I was talking to someone about this, if they just completely flipped their game plan, it would work so well because their strength is running the ball. They want to be able to run the ball and pass rush on defense. That's their goal. Well, here's the problem. If the running game's not working and you're getting behind, the pass rush isn't going to work because teams aren't going to be throwing the ball against you, and you're not going to be able to run the ball because you have to score some
points.
That's
right. Yeah.
So they need to flip everything they're doing. It would work out perfectly, in my opinion.
But they won't Mike Tomlin, I said this yesterday, that as bad as their offense was, and as much as the Cowboys kicked their rear up and down the field, you had 4th and goal at the 4 with 20 seconds to go, one play to win or lose the game. I think Mike Tomlin would take that with his defense on the field 75% of the time and be okay with it.
Well, there's a reason he called that timeout right there is because he realized that the offense wasn't going to get down and score. So you have to take the timeout.
No. My point is, Mike Tomlin
got confidence
is perfectly fine playing putrid bullcrap offense.
Yes.
Because he's trying to win games. In that case, I always say 16 to 13, 13 to 10. That would have been 17, 13. Those are the games he's trying to win. If they have to score 20 points, they're just screwed. Because that's not the football that he's trying to win or trying to play. So in my estimation, that's his fault. To blame Justin Fields, now look, we can criticize Justin Fields for a lot of things, but to blame Justin Fields for playing a style of football, Colin Cowherd said this yesterday, that the Steelers' entire game plan is strength and toughness.
It is. They want to bully you, and whenever they can't do that, which it's hard to bully someone in the NFL. It really is hard to bully someone in the
exactly.
NFL.
Exactly. But that's plan A. And it's also plan B, and it's also plan C, and it's also plan D. They don't have another plan. If their bully ball tactics don't work, they're not even remotely set up to win a higher scoring game or to win a game where they've got a, you know, they almost came back a couple weeks ago against whoever the hell it was.
Colts.
That's just not who they are, and he's perfectly fine scoring 18 points a game.
100%. I think a big reason I also don't want to blame Fields is their receivers have been absolutely terrible this year. They have gotten zero separation. The only relevant, Pickens, he can make that crazy catch every once in a while. He's not getting separation, though. That's got to be a perfectly thrown ball, and Fields is delivering that ball a lot. So, in my opinion, I think Fields has done everything he's asked of him, and just the way they're playing the game is – like you said, plan A, B, C, D is to just run the ball constantly. They want to out-physical you. Well, guess what? If you're down, you ain't able to do that. And you can see it. They can put together a drive, especially in the second half. It's almost like they're trying to play a feeling out process the entire first half. In the second half, they're fine with throwing the ball, and they also incorporate the run back into it. You saw in that last drive, they went right down the field perfectly fine. Like, why can they not do that every – and they're not going to obviously score every single drive, but why can you not mix up the pass – throw the pass game in along with the running game the entire drive? You'd actually be productive on offense. To me, it is such an outdated concept to just run the ball constantly down their throats. I don't see why they continue to do it. It's not working.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. Robin Bedford, back to college football. What's up, brother?
How you doing, guys?
All right, man. What's going on?
As we get closer to what Saturday is, this is the biggest, best Saturday for college football. Later in the week, I'll call back and we'll talk about the 120th annual Red River rivalry of number one Texas against number 21 Oklahoma. That'll be a lot of fun. But the big one, the biggest game of the Big Ten by far of the season, Saturday night, number two, Ohio State, visiting number three, Oregon. And a nugget for you, you might have forgotten this. 2 years ago, the Ducks strolled into the Horseshoe and won.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before they were even a part of their, you know, Angry Man Secret Society conference or whatever you call it. So they're very familiar with each other. They've played in the Rose Bowl before. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. Both teams are sensational on defense, but there's just so much talent on offense on both sides of the ball that I just can't see it being a low-scoring game.
What? Okay, Ohio State's only favored by 3.5. What can Oregon do? What does Oregon do best that they'll have to really hang their hat on in this?
Getting the ball on the edges to Jordan James. I know that Oregon hasn't faced a team like this all year, but neither has Ohio State. Jordan James has been phenomenal. They're running back 5'10", 220. He's leading their team with like 400 rushing yards, I think, already. His lowest output's 85 yards, and that was only on 12 carries. I think getting him off tackle, moving Dylan Gabriel in the pocket, you know, he's not a big guy, so he can't just stand there. He's usually pretty good at rolling out and finding guys on the move. Tez Johnson, he's hard to find. He's 160 pounds. He's had a brilliant career over the last, like, 3 years at Oregon. But he had a slow start to the year, as the team did. But they've looked really good offensively the last several weeks. And I think he has 45 receptions. I mean, 160 pounds, you can lose him out on the field. He's that small. But great playmaker. But they're going to have to play their best defensive game, even if they allow 30 points. It may be a victory on defense, because you just got to get enough stops to keep yourself in the game, because Ohio State's going
to
score.
Well, here's what's interesting to me. I mean, you look at Dylan Gabriel. He's Sean Clifford. He's 37 years old. This is his sixth year of college football. Dylan Gabriel has thrown for 16,000 yards in college football. To beat Ohio State, to beat Alabama, to beat Georgia, to beat Penn State, to beat any of these teams that typically roll in with great defenses, Michigan, you got to be able to throw the ball. These teams that just run the ball all the time, that's not going to work at a high level against Ohio State. So Dylan Gabriel, what did Bo Nix complete last year, Rob? Like 75%? Dylan Gabriel's completing. You ready for this? This is pinball game numbers. 77.8% of his passes. That to me is how you beat Ohio State. They're going to have to put the ball in the air a lot.
Here's perspective. Bo Nix had just a masterpiece of the season last year. Like, it, one of my favorite years I've ever watched college football. You take that this year, Gabriel actually has a higher passer rating on third down and more third down touchdowns than Nix did at this time last year. So he only needs, I think, 17 touchdowns to tie Case Keenum's all-time record of 155.
Yeah, he's throwing 136. That's great. Rob, I got to cut you off because we got to take a break. Good stuff, man. That's a massive game.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meets.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard. But when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
All right, we're running out of time here. What do you got about Oregon there, Nathan?
I was about to mention, I think Oregon loses this game by 14-17
points. What? You got Oregon getting blown out at home?
I do. Ohio State feels like they got a lot of motivation because everybody's saying they haven't played anybody yet. And they're right, they haven't. And last week they went out, they took care of business easily against Iowa. Oregon's red zone struggles have been very, very prominent.
The way to beat Ohio State. I was just
looking you got to be able to score points, and they cannot do it in the red zone.
Gabriel's fourth all-time in career passing yards. I could see him going out and putting up 350 in the air.
He's played for 5 years, though.
He's played for 12 years. He's like Sean
much,
Clifford.
Yeah, so that's why those stats rack up and accumulate.
77% completion percentage, though, man. That's how you beat Ohio State or Penn State. You got to be able to throw the ball.
He also did against UCF. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
That talent. All right.
Have a good one, everybody.
Exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC 1378.